Several months ago, we began a series entitled A Church Built Upon the Rock. And for a lot of Christians, going to church has become an experience similar to that of going to the mall. You know, there are many choices and a whole lot of options to choose from. If you want a short service, you should go to church A. You like gospel music, go to church B. And if you want a message that'll help you get rich, go to church C. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. If you're single, if you're this, if you're that, you go to this church or you go to that church. But you know what? When it all boils down to all of these options and all that is happening in the church, I've realized one thing. Christians don't need options. They need answers. Christians don't need to be entertained. They need to be encouraged. Christians don't need choices. They need a word from the Lord. That's what Christians need today. And Christians need Christians, not sinners. Christians need a church that is built upon the rock. How many of you visited a church and you wish you didn't go to church that day? Amen. You visited a church and said, I would have been better off had I stayed home. I've had that experience so many times, it makes me sick. Forgive that terse language, but I'm just trying to be blunt and frank and direct with you that there are churches that are just plain toxic. They don't know how to worship. They know how to raise money, but they don't know how to worship. And they don't know how to feed hungry people looking for answers. So the Christian today needs a church that is built upon the rock. And a church that is built on the rock is a victorious church, keeping with our theme of victory this year. Our scripture for this series is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where Jesus says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. Whose church? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's remember whose church it is. Amen. And there are seven things that describe a church built upon the rock. Number one, such a church is a born again church. It is a spirit-filled church. It is a praying church. It is a giving church. It is an evangelistic church. It is a growing church, and it is a Bible church. Let me say those again to you. It is a born-again church, a spirit-filled church, a praying church, a giving church, an evangelistic church, a growing church, and it is a Bible church. Now, some time ago when I started this series, we did look at the born-again church and the spirit-filled church, and I'll have those transcripts of those messages available to you this upcoming week, and you can catch up on this series. But now I want to deal with a praying church. And I know that we're coming up to the National Day of Prayer, so this folds right in to that theme for the country as well. There are three things you should know about a praying church. If you want to know that you belong to a praying church, consider these three values. Number one, a praying church understands the purpose of prayer. A praying church understands the purpose of prayer. Number two, a praying church recognizes the power of prayer. A praying church recognizes the power of prayer. Number three, a praying church enjoys the benefits of prayer. So a church that prays understands the purpose of prayer, recognizes the power of prayer, and enjoys the benefits of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? Now, there's a lot of folk who've got an answer to that, but there's just one answer. The purpose of prayer is to enable God's people to experience the presence of God. That is the purpose of prayer. It is for us to seek instruction from God and to receive grace to live for God. That's the only reason why you pray. You don't pray to get rich. Amen. You don't pray for God to just do this and do that and do this and do that. You pray in order to get to God and to experience His presence. Because if you get into His presence, all that other stuff gonna be taken care of. Your number one agenda when you pray is to experience the presence of Almighty God. And there's a whole lot of folk who've written books and done series and sermons and who have conferences on experiencing God and how to experience the presence of God, this, that, and the other. But listen, when I read my Bible, I understand that experiencing the presence of God occurs when your mind has been changed. When the problem you brought to God is no longer a problem when you stop praying. Why? Because you've experienced the presence of God. When you experience the presence of God and you've got a habit that you can't overcome, all of a sudden you have been infused with the power to overcome that habit. Why? Because you've been in the presence of God. You say, Pastor, well, you say all of this. Where is that in the Bible? You'll remember in the book of Acts when Peter and John and the apostles were praying that the Pharisees and the religious leaders took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. You know when you've been in the presence of God, and you don't have to have your face shining like Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai. Folk can tell when you've been in the presence of God. When those Pharisees and those religious rulers looked at the power and the confidence of those men of God who were speaking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they took note of them. They had been with Jesus. How many of you know what it's like to have been with Jesus? Glory to God. When you're in the presence of God, folk take note of you. They say something's going on with you. You were sad on Friday and now it's Monday and you're happy. But that's supposed to be vice versa. You're supposed to be happy on Friday and sad on Monday. But you started Friday mad and upset and you came in on Monday shouting, "What happened to you?" I have been in the presence of Jesus. And you don't have to go to no conference or go to a church where everybody is shouting like they lost their mind and they're on DirecTV. All you have to do is just get before God. You ain't got to pay no tickets in order to have the presence of God and go see somebody who can invoke God as if you can't. We are a kingdom of priests. Ain't no high priest but Jesus. And ain't nobody higher than you. Y'all didn't hear that. And nobody's higher than you. You can go to God and get a prayer through just as well as I can. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. Listen to me. Prayer is an open invitation for us to experience the power of divine fellowship. And in times like these, we all need the presence of the Lord in every area of our lives. The purpose of prayer is not for us to demonstrate our eloquence or ability to impress God. But rather it is a way for us to show our need and our love for him. And the church built upon the rock understands that prayer is not about showmanship. It is about fellowship. Let me say it again. It's not about showmanship. It is about fellowship. It's not how much I can get you to shout. It's how much I can express to God. I need him. It isn't about how well the music is being played and how well somebody can sing and pray and preach and do all of this. God is not calling entertainers. He's calling worshipers. When Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said that God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't worry about a temple. Don't talk about you got to be over here and you got to be this race or this ethnicity. God ain't looking for that. He's looking for somebody who don't mind abandoning themselves to themselves, who will be willing to worship God the way he was meant to be worshiped. As we go through life, saints, we're going to encounter situations that pose a challenge to our faith. Amen. Amen. But prayer provides the opportunity for us to seek the wisdom and direction of God. Now, you all have heard of GPS, right? The Global Positioning Satellite. In fact, in 2008, according to one well-known website, Americans spent $3 billion on GPS equipment in order to find out where they should go. Now, I don't know how my grandma and grandpa got around and drove without GPS. We buy stuff as if, you know, we wouldn't know what to do without it. What did we do 30 years ago? Are we that lost? And we spent $3 billion, and that's just American money. That's not around the world. That's not a global number. That's just a domestic number. We spent $3 billion for a piece of equipment on our dashboard to tell us to turn right. Turn left. Turn right again. Amen. I had downloaded a map off of a well-known search engine, and it gave me the wrong directions. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Springfield, Illinois, and I had my map in my hand saying, well, I'm going to check before I go to the conference. Let me just drive there so I won't have to, you know, do anything wrong. And the map was wrong. How many of you heard of the GPS being wrong? Yeah, the GPS can be wrong. But I don't want to talk about the GPS. I want to talk about the LPS, because that's who God is. He's an LPS, a life positioning savior. That's who he is. He's a life positioning savior. So if your life is going in a way that is filled with confusion and you don't know exactly which way to turn, why don't you turn to God? And you know what he'll say? Turn right. Turn left. Don't go that way at all. That's what the Spirit of the Lord will do. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen God answer prayer. And just don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. The Bible says that when you call me, I'll tell you exactly which way to go, which way to turn. I will tell you. Amen. Amen. Bible says in the book of Psalms, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. God will lead you. That's why we're told in the book of Proverbs, in all our ways to acknowledge him. And what will he do? Direct our paths. See, that's right there in the word of God. And he will do it. He is a life positioning savior, and you don't have to pay no money to get direction from God. Hallelujah. He will give your life the right direction it needs. Living the Christian life can be lonely. And I want to talk especially to young people. It can be lonely, even among other Christian young people who may not understand your faith. Because not everybody who goes to these teen conferences and goes to these places where they try to get the fire of God, they come away. They're not still right in their hearts. They haven't made those life changes necessary to really equip themselves to battle with temptation. And you can get among the wrong folk. And when you decide to take a stand on the word of God, when you decide to take a stand on living a life with choices based on what the Bible teaches, your path can be a lonely one. I'm just going to be straight up with you young people. It's not always shouting and praising God and having friends who like you and being popular. There will be times when folk will walk out on you because you're a Christian. You don't do this, you don't do that. Forget you then. That's what they'll say to you. And in this desire to be hip, this desire to be accepted, this desire to feel significance and wanted, some of our young people get entrapped and ensnared in a life choice that can devastate them for the next 30 years. It can get lonely, but that's when you have to learn to pray. You must learn the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. And that is to receive encouragement from God to live the life that God has called you to live. Listen, it's not easy being a Christian. Don't you be fooled. Well, I went to church and we had a good time and I was shouting and this and that. I didn't say that you didn't shout and that God doesn't love you and you didn't feel his presence. I'm saying it is not easy living the Christian life. It is difficult because your flesh is screaming out for liberty. Your flesh hates the Bible. Your flesh hates the word. That's why churches are growing so much preaching this prosperity mess, because the flesh loves money. Don't get me wrong. You can preach money and fill up anybody's house if you're giving away dollars. But when you're giving away the blood of Jesus, don't nobody want to hear that now. So you need to preach something else. Well, there ain't really nothing else to preach that can save anybody. I would preach money if money could save you from going to hell. I would preach money if it could heal you of cancer. But since only the blood, that's all I got to preach. And so this idea of wanting to be a part of something big has infected the mindset of the Christian community. And as a result, this mega madness that has gripped us like a virus, where everybody's going to church, but ain't nobody living for Jesus, is threatening the reputation and the integrity and the credibility of the household of faith. That's why Islam is the fastest growing religion in America, because Christianity ain't worth nothing. It ain't saying nothing. It's not challenging nobody to give up the life that God has called them to live. And I want you to know something. It really isn't easy being a Christian. And my young people, I salute you for taking a righteous stand. And I want you to understand something. You're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And you need to realize something. As I like to tell my young people and even my children, at some point, you just got to man up and make weight. Now, my young people who know a little bit about sports should know what I'm talking about. You just got to make weight and quit crying. Got to go to the gym, man. The coach is working me too hard. You need to make weight. You need to run more hills. You need to put on an extra 5 pounds on that bar and make weight. You need to do 50 crunches instead of 25 and quit crying about it. We trying to fight a battle here. He said, well, Pastor, you don't love me. I do love you. I'm just trying to keep you from killing yourself. You have to make weight. I can't have soldiers around me who can't hold a sword. We got to make sure you understand this. Christianity is a tough faith, but it is worth it. It is worth it. And I have learned more from people who have ticked me off by teaching me and challenging me and kicking me down to pick me up, only to knock me down again, saying, are you tired of being knocked down? Hey, do you not need to learn to fight? I don't need nobody rubbing me saying it's going to be all right, and they don't even like me. In fact, they may be stabbing me in my back. I need somebody in my life who will tell me when I'm wrong. Iron sharpening iron. I don't need the flattery of those who are enemies. I need the wounds of a friend. And you do too. In the movie The Clash of the Titans, the head of the army gives a sword to this new guy who is Perseus, and then he knocks him down. In other words, we got to teach you to fight if you're going to hang out with me. Amen? Young people, that's the way I feel. Gotta teach you to fight if you're gonna hang out with me. Because this is a battle. It is a battle. I don't like fighting, honey. You ain't got a choice. You know, we're in it, but we gonna win this. We gonna win this thing, and we gonna have the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's time to get to the weight room. It's time to get to the weight room of prayer. It's time to do those crunches by getting to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Got to put down MTV and all this other stuff and just pick up a Bible. Every now and then, let that Word get inside you and deliver your mind from the poison of what you see on television these days. Because it will infect your mind and cause you to lust for things that aren't of God. Well, I feel like I'm living for Jesus all by myself. Well, number one, don't go by that feeling, because it's a lie. You're not all by yourself. Pray for one another and then pray for yourself. God will give you the grace and the strength to live for Him. You make Christianity sound bad. It's not bad, but it is a struggle. I don't want to oversell it. Hallelujah. See, some folk oversell Christianity as easy. It's not easy. And what they're doing is giving you a bill of goods. It's not easy. Hallelujah. But it is worth it. And I'd rather be a Christian than a sinner every day. I'd rather be a broke Christian than a rich sinner. I'd rather be a broke Christian than a rich sinner every single day of the week. I'd rather be a sick Christian than a healed sinner. Because I know what's on the other side of my Jordan. Some folks say there are streets paved with gold. This is worth it, young people. It's worth it. I got saved at the age of 16. I'm talking from personal experience. It's worth it. I know all the names of my kids. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Okay, let me stop. I done dipped into something. I gotta back that. Let me back off. Let me step back. I done went too far, haven't I? What I'm trying to tell you is this. The Spirit of God will give you grace to do whatever it is you need to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, weaknesses, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. A praying church understands that the purpose of prayer is to experience God, seek his wisdom, and receive grace in order to live for God. Now, there's another thing you need to know about prayer in the church, and that is this. We recognize the power of prayer. James 5:16 says these words, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Let me say that again. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Let me say it again. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Not things happen, great things happen. And it ain't about the denomination that you are. It's not about Bishop so-and-so being your pastor. When you do what the Bible tells you to do and you believe in the power of God, great things will happen. You don't have to be somebody with a theological degree. All you have to do is trust in the word of the living God. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't care what your name is and how many degrees you have amassed and your credentials and the fact that you've written a book on prayer. I don't need no book on prayer. All I need to do is just talk to God. I don't need a book on prayer. I didn't say it's not something of value. I don't need one. Because I might not have time to read your book on prayer if I'm about to go into surgery. I don't need no book at that time. But I do need to pray. I need the power of prayer in my life. When my kids are going astray, I might not have time to read your book, but I certainly got time to fall on my knees and pray for my family. We got to see that there's power in prayer, and it is the most powerful tool available to the child of God. Prayer changes things. It changes people. It changes everything. That's why the enemy don't want you to pray. If he can stop you from praying, he can make you do anything else. But he's got to stop you from praying because he knows the power of prayer. It breaks the yoke. Not some song service in which the anointing breaks the yoke. It is the prayer and connection that you make and I make with God that breaks the yoke and the spell and the mystic influence of the enemy over our hearts and minds that keep us in bondage before God. That's what prayer can do. It will break the yoke. It will set you free. Because he knows once you get your prayer life together, you're walking in victory. And if you don't have victory, that's the first thing you should check. If you're dealing with some issues in your life, and we don't need to name the salacious issues that Christians face today. There's a lot of dirt that we do. Amen. When I say dirt, I'm just talking about sin. But it's a nice contemporary term for my young people, doing dirt. Amen. We all do some dirt. We all got some skeletons in our closets. We all have done something or said something that we should not have said or done or thought. Come on. You don't have to say amen. It's just true. And the fact is, when you are consistently and continuously in bondage to resentment and bitterness and fear and anxiety and you can't pray, then God, my goodness, God is trying to reach out to you. And guess what he's running up against? Your own roadblock. You put a wall up against God. God trying to reach you now. You got a wall up called fear, anxiety, and doubt. And then you come to church with that fear, anxiety, and doubt. You leave church with that fear, anxiety, and doubt. My friends, ain't nothing happened to you. You wasted your time. You got to take that wall down. And you do it by faith in the word of the living God. You got to know that if he made a way for so-and-so, he'll make a way for you. I'm sick of folk telling me about generational curses. Well, my generation is going to break mine. Your daddy was an alcoholic and his daddy was an alcoholic. Hey, stop talking. Stop talking. See, don't confess that in my life. Yeah, well, you got to understand your mama was on crack and her sister was on crack. It's in the genes. It's not in my genes. It's not in my. Whose genes was it in 100 years ago before there was crack? When my descendants and ancestors, whether, were African slaves and there was no Johnny Walker, whose genes was it in then? Oh, y'all like that Johnny Walker. Like that Morgan David too. Listen. Whose genes was it in? That gambling gene. Pulling that. Well, before I had any money, I didn't have a gambling addiction. It's in your genes, child. Ain't in my genes. See, I don't believe in that foolishness. I don't believe in generational curses. He's just like his daddy. But he ain't got to be like his daddy. I guess I'm just in that generational curse. You still guessing? That's the problem. You guessing. I don't guess with my life. I only got one of these. I ain't got time to mess it up on toxic thinking that my daddy was a loser and his son grew up just like him. Honey, you need to check that because I can pray. And I'm going to be different than whoever brought me in this world. I don't really care. It ain't how you got here. It's how you leave here. In the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. At midnight, they had a worship service. One of them prayed, one of them sang, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake. And all the bars were loose. And this was an interesting earthquake in that it was not a destructive earthquake that took out the prison. It just loosened the chains. I don't know about how y'all read the Bible, but when I see the word earthquake, I should see the ceiling coming down on the prisoners, and there's all this devastation that you see around the world. This earthquake had an agenda. The earthquake unlocked all of the gates of the prisoners. Now listen to what God did, because there's something that you need to understand, not just of Paul and Silas. But everybody's gate had been loosened by an earthquake. But the jail was fine. There was no problem with the structure of the jail, but the gates were open. And all the prisoners walking out. What just happened? When prayer is powerful, it will set the captives free, and not just you, but those who are around you. That's why you pray to get your prayer through, because it ain't about you. It's about those around you as well. Folk don't know you praying for them. They better stop messing with you, because you need to understand, God is not going to allow folk to do to you what they think they're going to do. You're going to come out on fine. All right. I don't know what's going to happen to them. Book of Proverbs chapter 23, you need to set your focus on the Lord, because in him you have an expected end. There is no counsel or might that can go against the Lord. Don't be tricked. Ain't nobody going to defeat you of the flesh without God's permission. They might disappoint you. They might frustrate you. They might distract you, but they won't defeat you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Y'all need to read my Bible. Listen to me. Y'all need to read my Bible. If God be for us, how can flesh defy the living God? Some folk have lost their mind. You can't be God. When I say he'll set you free, he'll set you free in your life, on your job, in your marriage, in your singleness, your children, your cousin, your uncle, your neighbor, your enemy, your school, your community, whatever. God is able to bring about freedom where there is captivity. He is able to bring about deliverance in the name of Jesus. But you got to pray. And I ain't talking about praying on a picnic. You got to pray. Hallelujah. The church is built upon a rock, enjoys the benefits of prayer. There are seven benefits. Number one, prayer gives us fellowship with God. We get the mercy of God. Not everybody has God's mercy. He is merciful. Amen. We get the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. The confidence of God to be able to face whatever. The power of God to deal with whatever. The wisdom of God to understand whatever. And the peace of God to weather whatever. We don't have to just simply sit back and let the world beat us up. Young people, you don't have to take what the world gives you because you're better than that. You deserve better than that. Set your standards high. Don't set your standards at the world's standards. I never tell folk, well, I guess it's my lot. I don't know what my lot is. I'm waiting on God to tell me what my lot is. But I guarantee you this, you ain't telling me. Listen to me. Don't let people, well, I guess that's just how your life is. You don't have a right to say that about me. You don't have a right to say that about me. Well, he's 25, ain't even been to college. I guess he ain't gonna make it. You have no right to say that about that person. You have no right to judge that person. I stop living when I stop breathing. And as long as I'm breathing, I can do whatever it is that God puts on my heart. Well, you should have done this and you shouldn't have done that. And you done kind of wrecked your life. You don't know my life that well. Well, I've been looking at you and you dropped out of school. You got a baby out of wedlock. You don't know me that well. Because you haven't seen the last chapter of my life. Now, the first couple of chapters, they might not have started out the way you think they should, but God ain't done with me yet. And as long as I can pray, I'm gonna make it. But I'm not gonna let you tell me my level of income and my career and how I'm gonna make it and what house I'm gonna live in, because you ain't my father. My daughter plays a song called Lip Gloss. It opens up with these words: what you know about me, what you know about me. It's a cute little song. It does. It says, what you know about me, what you know about me. And so whenever I want to pick on my daughter and she gets on my nerves, what you know about me, what you know about me. And I nickname her Lip Gloss because she played that toxic song in front of me. Song is all about lip gloss. This mystical, magical lip gloss. But I like the fact that she is saying to herself, you don't define me. There's a little message in that thing. Amen. And what I'm trying to say to you, young people, don't let people define you by what you do for them or based on the fact that you're going to do what they ask or say to you. Because there's a lot of folk who just want to bring you down and then gloat over it. Don't let them do that. Enjoy the benefits of prayer. Understand the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. Now, I know I've gone a long time, saints, but can I just preach a little bit longer? A church built on the rock is a praying church. Money doesn't build a church. Talent doesn't build a church. Political influence doesn't build a church. Prayer builds the church. Because prayer builds the saints. And when saints grow, the church grows. And when the church grows, lives are changed and miracles happen. Can I have a few moments to tell you and to teach you how to get a prayer through? Can I give you three ideas, three things that you can do that will get your prayer to heaven? Now, I know we don't have our screen, but I'm going to put this on the internet. I'm going to put this transcript, all 23 pages on the internet for you to go through. And this is page 23. Three things you can do to get a prayer through. I'm going to teach you this right now over the next few minutes. Number one, you got to have the right attitude. And that attitude, let me give you the right attitude, is a longing for God. You got to want to pray. Amen? Don't let a job loss bring you and drag you to prayer. Pray while you got money in your pocket. Pray while you meeting the mortgage. Don't be, oh no, doctor said I got to go to the hospital. Why you wait that long? While you got the blood running warm in your veins, you can jump. Why you not pray right now? The right attitude is one of longing for God. Let me give you your text because I got to back it up with some Bible. Psalm 63, read it. A longing for God, Psalm 63. It speaks about what it means to long for God. Hallelujah. Just like you used to long for the club, you long for God. I'm learning all kinds of stuff from my kids and my young people. The club. I don't even know if they really talk about a real club. The club. Number two. Care about the thing you're praying about. Pray about the thing you have some skin in the game. Y'all know what skin in the game is? Yeah. Care about what it is that you're praying about. Just don't be praying about somebody in your mind somewhere else. Skin in the game. Skin in the game is used in corporate America, in which you go to the bank and you say, I need a business loan. And the bank says, well, how much you got to put up? We ain't putting up all the risk. You got to put up something, 20, 30, 40%. That's called skin. Yeah, you putting in your money. That's what the bank is saying. Well, what you bringing? That's called skin in the game. That's why the bank wants some collateral. In other words, I ain't giving you all the money. Show me some skin. Show me some flesh. Show me that you're going to lose your house if you don't run this business right. That's called skin in the game. When you pray, care about what you're praying about. Don't pray for the poor little children of Africa and you ain't never sent no money to Africa. Lord, bless those children in Somalia and in the Sudan and into this. You don't sponsor no kids. You don't send no money to missionaries. We got a missionary right here at Blessed Hope Bible Church, the brother of Lawrence Olatunde, James Olatunde, work laborers for Christ. Right there in Lagos, Nigeria. We have a missionary right here from Africa who works among those poor little children that you won't pray for. Well, give him some money. Put some skin on your prayer. Because your money is not what's going to help those kids get to heaven, but it will help them to see that God loves them. But your money plays a small part. Your prayer does the rest. Just don't be praying, oh, Lord, go to the Sudan. You go to the Sudan. And if you can't go, send somebody who's willing to go. Just don't be praying for something that you ain't giving to. That's why y'all prayers aren't getting answered, saints, because you don't care about what you're praying for. I'm praying for my kids to get right. When last time you said I love you to your kids? Hugged your kids. Took your kids out on a play date. Bought them whatever they wanted. I ain't doing that for my kids. And why are you praying for them? A hangout day. Amen. Praise God. I remember me and Joshua, he runs track. We went, yeah, I'm going to talk about you. And he was up there at Chaminade running track in some high quarter tennis shoes. Kind of come way up here. I said, come on, boy, we going up, we're going to hook you up. I don't know how much money I spent, spikes, sweats, everything. I said, when you show up tomorrow, watch what happened. He showed up. He was the bomb. You can't. You represent Forrest now. You gotta. You know, I gotta tighten you up with your cleats. How much are those shoes? Don't look at the price, son. Just you want them? Get them. I know I'm right. I said, we want them. And we want this. And we want this. You hungry? Come on, we're going over here. Order what you want. Don't pray for me if you don't even like me. Lord, bless my kids. Love your kids. Quit talking about them like a dog. Love your kids. Talk about God save my kids. You save them. Love them. Get off their back. Quit harassing them. You get an F, you got one. Quit harassing them. You teaching them, you praying for them. They'll get it. Might not get it till they're 30. They'll get it. I tell my kids, if you're going to fail, fail now. Don't fail at 50. Don't fail at 40. If we're going to fail something, let's fail now. Let's get all of our F's and D's out of the way. Let's get all this and then look back and go, I don't like those. Now let's change. Amen. I ain't advocating young people, y'all flunk out of school. But what I am saying is this, that you got a whole lot of living left to do. And you bigger than your ACT score and your transcripts. You can make it. You'll work it out. You'll work it out. Amen. Praying for your kids. Love your kids. Take them to Dave and Buster's. Or just leave them alone. If they didn't clean a room, so what? It's just a room. It's just a room. This is not open for discussion. I ain't done preaching yet. I done started something and I'm glad I did. Ain't nobody sleeping now. Believe in your kids. I believe in all three of my kids. Ain't no big deal. I struggled when I was young, but I met a God who was able to deliver. They will find their way, but you must pray and trust God. They'll make mistakes. Trust God. Trust God. They'll make mistakes. Trust God. And don't be blaming yourself. Oh, it's because I was this. See, that's that generational mess. I did something 30 years ago. Stop that. You'd be dead if God had an issue with you. Quit blaming yourself. It ain't about that. We live in a sick world, a wicked world. And good kids are going down. Godly kids are going down. Your kid in church want to go to church, you better leave that child alone. They want to come to Blessed Hope. Honey, you need to back off that child. Y'all mad at me. I really don't care. They ain't got to go. They will find their way if you model it and hug them every now and then. Even when they don't want you to hug them, make them hug you. Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, wait until they go away from your house. You put them under the vice grip of your discipline and then set them free. They'll be heathens. Go on ahead and put them under your vice grip. Put them in your chokehold. My house. You do what I say. Wait till they leave it. You better let them have a little bit of freedom so that when they get away to college, they remember where home is. Y'all not listening. I don't care, but I'm going to preach that. You putting them under that vice grip and making sure they're home by 11. 11. And now they're away at college. What time they coming home now, honey? If they come home. When my son got 18, I said, be safe. That's your curfew. Now, when I told him, I said, you want to move off campus? He says, no, Dad, I don't even want to deal with the temptation. He told me, no, Dad, I don't want that because I don't want to be tempted to skip a class. I don't want that, Dad. I didn't solicit that. I told him, you want to move off. He said, I don't want that. But in my house, be safe. Come home by this. Do this. Love your kids. Number three, I know I'm keeping y'all late. Y'all gonna be all right? Persevere. Just don't pray and go about your business. Pray until you get an answer. Remember Luke chapter 18, the woman and the unjust judge. I got to give you a scripture for number two. Care about the thing you're praying about. That's 2 Chronicles 20. And persevere, number three, Luke 18. That woman kept bugging that judge. That judge didn't fear God nor man. But I guarantee you that woman got on his nerves so bad. He finally dealt with her. That's how you got to do with God. God ain't got nerves, but pretend he does. Get on every last one of them. So that when your kid does act up, now you act up before God and say, Lord, I'm going to stay here every single day. You go work on my kid. I done took him as far as I can take him. I have taken her as far as I can take her. I don't know if she's really going to go to the movies tonight and come straight home. So I tell you what I need you to do. I'm going to pray. And I'm asking you to watch over her and her friends and the people in the car and the folk acting a fool, because I need you to be where I can't be. When my child goes away to college, I need you to go with him. He don't hear my voice saying, and at what time you getting home? Honey, have you lost your mind? No, he can do whatever he's big and bad enough to do. Lord, be a hedge. Keep him from throwing his own life away. And that's what you got. And see, some of us, we don't like that because it causes us to lose control, but it makes you pray more. It forces you to pray prayers that you ain't used to praying. Your little Sunday school prayer and Jesus wept and now, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. You can that. Leave that for them folk down at 155-year-old Anniversary Baptist Church. You need to pray for some kids. And you need to pray. Leave that for them and putting seats out and, you know, you can come by baptism. See, we that's the old paradigm. New paradigm is getting before the face of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was raised Baptist. I could talk about whoever I want to. I'm ordained Baptist. Don't worry about me. Lip gloss. What you know about me? You pray every day. You have skin in the game when you pray. Don't be praying for me to be powerful if you're not supporting me. And you stabbing me in my back, hoping I have an accident on the way here so you can preach. And long for God. If you do those three things, God will do the rest. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just this time of exploring, a time of discussion, a time in which, Lord, our minds have been stirred up. For some of us, Lord, it was a time of conviction. How to raise our kids, how to treat each other. Lord, you want us to long for you. You don't want us to be ceremonial or religious. You want us to be passionate. You want us, oh Lord, to have the greatest depths of feeling and profoundness as we approach you. It should matter to us. And Lord, you want quality and not quantity. You also want us to care about who we pray for. You want us to have skin in the game. You want us also to persevere and not just pray Monday night, but every night, every morning. so that we can show you that we really do mean what we say when we say, bless us, help us, strengthen us. Father, give us your grace and help us to pray like we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them praise, everybody in the building. Come on, Brother Todd. Hallelujah.